Welcome, everybody, on this nice damp morning. It's good to see you all here. Particularly please see John Cox, because he is here and he's been in hospital and he's now back in circulation. Tomorrow, Monday, it's the May Merry and the church will be open, so if you're around to enjoy the festivities of the town, do call in here. We never know who else will be here. Also, tomorrow, there's a bank holiday walk. It begins by getting in cars and ends by getting out of cars. Here are the details, and Georgina is organizing it. Next Sunday, it will be an 11 o'clock service, so you don't have to hurry. And then there'll be a church meeting following that with a focus on the budget. So it's it'd be very good if a fair number of us could be here. And then looking forward to Sunday the 16th, there's another walk. But you don't have to go because Georgina Forbes, Vaughan James and Peter Ashdown will be doing a sponsored walk, Circle in the City, Sunday 16th of May. So if you'd like to sign up their form to show you're sure they're going to make the circuit and how much you give them for that. Which leads me into the whole subject of Christian Aid, so let's opt out for Ray Charlton. Here he is.
Good morning. If anybody doesn't know why I'm standing up, I need volunteers as usual to help with the many activities that we contribute towards for Christian Aid. Our Christian Aid Week starts next Saturday with a quiz at 7 till 10 in the hall. Please come along. If you don't have a team to be a member of at the moment, then just come by yourself and we'll put you in a team after that. I'm also looking for people to help with the knocking on the doors. We raise over £2,000 a year purely on the door-to-door activities. It's by far the biggest sum of money comes in that way. It's a difficult activity, but it's well worth your time doing it. So if you can help me with that. And finally, the final Saturday of Christian Aid Week, we have a market stall. We need helpers, but more than that, we'd appreciate either cakes or preserves to sell on that day. So if you can help us with that, I'd most appreciate it. And if you want help getting those products down to the church, then just contact me. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise God, all the angels, all the heavenly realm. Let us all together praise the Lord. God's name is greater than all others. God's glory is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. We join to sing, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. O God, who knows all that we desire, we long to know you, to be inspired in your presence and to be purified by your love. Help us to move closer to you, to leave behind all fear and guilt and dread, and to let your light shine on our faces and to enjoy the peace of your presence. Give us the courage and the will to meet one another more completely than before. To read the scriptures with new insight. To find a new direction and a new resolve. To let your joy embrace our every pain and your love and mercy to restore us. Among the saints in the company of heaven, may we join in the chorus of creation's praise and sing with all our hearts of your glory and love. Among the people of earth, your loved children, may we embrace the suffering, the sorrow, with the grieving. But do not let our hearts stop from singing songs of hope. Praise be to God, Creator. Praise be to God, the Son. Praise be to the Spirit, the three in one. Blessed be God, now and forever, unto the ages and across the world. From every nation and in every place, may God's holy name be praised. Alleluia. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. These are the words of Jesus. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciple. In the family, it became a bit of a joke. But it was absolutely true that the baby hated banana. The baby would not eat banana. You could try to hide it. You could try to give it to the baby in some other way. If you gave it in a chunk, the baby wouldn't eat it. If you gave it mashed up, the baby wouldn't eat it. They didn't try coating it in chocolate because that was just too far and too silly. The baby hated banana. But of course, the baby never said, "I hate banana." The baby couldn't speak, but the baby clearly communicated, "I hate banana." If you gave the baby banana, a piece of banana, the baby looked at the banana and then threw it at you. And if you took some banana mashed up on a spoon and put it in the baby's mouth, the baby spat it at you. The baby told the message clearly and loudly that the baby hated banana. Not through the words that the baby said, but through the way the baby behaved. And Jesus said, join to sing, O Lord, all the world belongs to you. First reading from Acts. Peter tells a story of a vision of both animals and people. In his rooftop trance, he's shown animals that he previously had thought of as being, had previously been taught to know to be unclean, and that now they can be called clean. This first passage you read to us by Alan Oscroft.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Peter's report to the church at Jerusalem. The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. when Peter went to Jerusalem, those who were in favour of circumcising Gentiles criticised him, saying, "You were a guest in the home of uncircumcised Gentiles, and you even ate with them." So Peter gave them a complete account of what had happened from the very beginning. "While I was praying in the city of Joppa, I had a vision. I saw something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners from heaven, and it stopped next to me. I looked closely inside and saw domesticated and wild animals, reptiles and wild birds. Then I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, Lord. No ritually unclean or defiled food has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke again from heaven, 'Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean.' This happened three times, and finally the whole thing was drawn back up into heaven. At that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. These six fellow believers from Joppa accompanied me to Caesarea, and we all went into the house of Cornelius. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send someone to Joppa for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He will speak words to you by which you and all your family will be saved.' And when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down on them, the Holy Spirit came down on them just as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' It is clear that God gave those Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I then to try to stop God?" When they heard this, they stopped their criticism and praised God, saying, "Then God has given to the Gentiles also the opportunity to repent and live."
The reading from the Gospel according to John is in the story of the life of Jesus just before Jesus' death. The followers of Jesus will no longer see him, but somehow the glory of God has been rubbed off onto those who are his followers, and they, in their behaviour, will show God's glory. This passage will be read by Rosemary Moore. Can I just say, just as Rosemary's coming up, if you're a person who has ever wanted to read, would you speak to Stella? Stella, put your hand up, please. She'll be glad to receive some more readers. So let us listen for the word of God from John's Gospel.
The second is reading from John 13, verses 31 to 35. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man in himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples.
What does love mean? And can you order people to love as Jesus does here? It's indicative that to Jesus what matters is not how you feel, but about what you're doing. Are you behaving in a loving way? Regardless of what is going on in your insides, are your actions the loving actions? Further, Jesus goes on, your loving actions will be attractive to others. But let's be clear, you don't do it because it will be attractive. You do it because you know it to be right. And so we struggle to love. And then, who do you love? How narrow, how tight is the circle of your love? And that's where the Acts reading comes in. The call, according to that reading, is not to love upon those that you would thought of as being clean and wholesome, or not about not to be defined on racial or religious lines, which is good news for some, but for others, it's scary stuff. But the news is that all are welcome. So where will all this love and the interest in all get you to when you put your cross, those of you who can, put your cross in the box on Thursday? It will surely mean that the driver for how we vote will be more than what is good for me and mine. There will also be issues about justice, about welcome, about lifting people out of poverty, about getting people back to work. It'll be about the fair reward for labours, and which party means those things to you. I will leave that to you. But I would suggest that the driver for your choice is not just about the tight circle of those who are round about you. The call to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be part of something that is bigger than that small picture of what suits me and people like me. So Peter recounts a story about a vision about animals and about, and then therefore a story about people. And each one of them would be able to call God as creator, and things he had previously thought of as being unclean, he now learns that he's to kill and to eat. Now they were called, once they were called unclean, now they are called clean. Not common, but special, because God has cleansed them. And Peter is called to leave behind his scruples as a faithful Jew. So, the message of the story is that there is nobody who is to be seen as being outside of the love of God. I think that's a message that we sort of know, don't we? You know, that's the ABC of being a Christian. I know that living it is the XYZ of being a Christian, but the knowing that, you know, that's... I think the bit that Jesus goes on to, I think, is another thing that maybe every now and then we need to remember, and sometimes we forget, which is that the way that we treat each other is really very important. A church where everybody slags everybody else off, and there's a sense of people murmuring, it's not an attractive church to be a part of. It's not, you know, why on earth would you go to such a place? You would have to be very, very strange indeed. It's not attractive. So the way that we treat each other actually is a very strong witness. I know somebody who became a Christian as a result of driving by the outside of a church when they were putting up a sign. And this gang of people were putting up a sign, and he must have slowed down, you know, there must have been a traffic jam. And he looked at them, and they were laughing, and they were having such a good time with one another that he thought, blimey, you know, that's really attractive. And that was the driver that made him think, there's something else here, I want to know more, and began his route into the faith. So I want to say to us, I'm not saying that we will all like each other all the time. Apart from me, obviously, because I love everybody. But, you know, we're not saying we'll like each other all of the time. But I am saying that how we behave towards one another is very, very important in terms of the living of the Christian life. For us, one of the symbols of this love that is broad and open and including of everybody is the way that we do Holy Communion. So we say everybody's welcome. That's Kingston United Reformed Church's policy. Everybody's welcome. We don't say you have to be a follower of Jesus. We don't say you have to be confirmed. We just say everybody's welcome. And we try to make as many people be able to be included by the fact that we don't serve alcohol. We all drink that stuff that I will in a minute call wine, but actually really in my heart I call red stuff. Blah, you know. But, you know, we do that because that means, you know, if we served alcohol, then there would be some among us who wouldn't be able to have it. And we need to do something about the bread, because the fact that there's gluten is excluding for some. And let me tell you, that's on the elders' agenda for next month. That's another, you know, bit. But the fact that we have an open table is possibly a concern for some. And some would say, well, you know, having an open table where anybody can go means that some people could eat and drink before they're ready. They could eat and drink before they're committed. They could bring judgment on themselves because they're casual. Well, I would say, and I know this will come as a shock to you, but sometimes when I've had communion, I haven't been the holiest. And I'm sure that's true of you. I'm sure it's not just me. Come on, it's not just me, is it? And I think that's other people, they might, fair enough, they might not understand all about Jesus, but that's true of us as well. So the open table is a sign that says, come, eat and drink with us. You are welcome here. Open table, it's a risk. But the whole worldwide church, it's a risk. Being a follower of Jesus, it's a risk. But the good news is, it's a risk worth taking. So let us be silent together, and then we will pray. O God of love, who calls us to love, help us to be a loving community. Not just a place where people who are sociologically like one another get on, but where there is love across the ages, between the races, between those who would never socially have anything to do with each other, except your love calls us. May our church be a beacon of your love in Kingston. Teach us how to disagree with one another, for we are all different, and yet do it in a way that affirms and values the contribution of the other. We ask for your guidance for us as we come to vote on Thursday. May the love of Jesus guide us and motivate us in where we place our cross. Ask for your blessing on the meeting that will happen on Tuesday, that it will be a good time to ask the candidates questions, that people will come, and you will inspire the questions that we ask. We pray for those who are standing as candidates who will not be re-elected. For those families that will have to move house. Those who will have to find new work. We pray for those candidates who will be elected for the first time, that they will be able to go to work quickly. The transition will be smooth, and they will face up to the responsibility of serving their constituents. And we pray for those who will be returned, that they would not be jaded, but reinvigorated to do that which is right. We ask for your blessing on all world leaders, that they would work for your justice, be inspired by your love, and called beyond the circle of their immediate friends and backers. We pray for those who we know who are ill at this time. Those who are in hospital. Any that we know who are frightened, anxious, lonely, or sad. And we pray for ourselves. For sometimes, O God, we are among them. And we offer all our prayers, the words that we have spoken, and the thoughts and prayers that have come through our hearts and minds, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we give in response to your love for us. May we be generous of spirit as you have been. Amen. The hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine. as if it were the only time. As if this was the only place, and we were the only people Jesus Christ will meet us. As if it were the only time, and this were the only place, and we were the only people. Let us allow Jesus Christ to meet us here. This is the table. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have little. Come, because you are invited and you are welcome here. Let me tell you the story of how this began. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ has made special. And as Jesus offered a prayer of thanks, so we do too. Let us pray. Before you, O God, we remember today the ones who have gone before us. As we gather at this table, we are aware of the cloud of witnesses that surround us. Before you, O God, we remember the saints of our day. Those who have not lived by the rigid letter of the law, but the wild demands of love, prepared to give more, ready to be turned inside out and upside down. Another cloud of witnesses that surround us. Eternal God, we thank you for the witnesses of all times and all places. We thank you that the stories of their lives show us the richness of your grace. We thank you that you are present with us, and we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on this bread and this wine, that this bread may be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, may we know that we are united with those who have gone before us and those who seek to serve you all over the world. All praise to you, our God, for now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, even in the face of death, took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And the cup, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." When you receive the bread, you are invited to eat it. And when you hold the wine, you are invited to hold it, that we could all drink together. The body of Christ. the blood of Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the promise that you will be with us in whatever lies ahead, and that nothing can separate us from your love. When you shared our earthly life, you brought to those who would receive you hope, joy, renewal. In amazement, men and women found that God was present with them, part of their everyday experience. Lord, let this be true for us. Surprise us, we pray. Open our eyes to discern signs that you are indeed present. As we have discerned you in bread and wine, may we discern you in all the times that we eat and drink, in all the people that we meet. And may we delight to live as your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn you will find to be number 523, which Jenny Tang has chosen, a song of praise indeed. Give me joy, my heart. 523. Let us know that our worship has not ended, it has only just begun. For the God that we worship will be with us every moment of every day. So let us go from this place to offer the worship that God desires, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.